नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर 9 chapter entitled Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 38. Tam natre ittam netreya drishi deva jasa avatarair lokan vibhavayasi hamsi jagat pratipan धर्मं महापुरुषपासि युगान् वृत्तम् चन्नाकलौ यदभवस्त्रियुगो तसत्त्वम् इत्तम् उपपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Tri-Yuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. Purport: As the Lord appeared just to maintain Lord Brahma from the attack of Madhu and Kaitaba, he also appeared to protect the great devotee Prahlad Maharaj. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to protect the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. There are four yugas or millenniums: Satya, Treta, Dwapar and Kali. You can put on the fan. Thanks. In all the yugas but Kali Yuga, the Lord appears in various incarnations and asserts himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And although Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears in Kali Yuga, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never asserted himself as such. On the contrary, whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was addressed as being as good as Krishna, he blocked his ears with his hands, denying his identity with Krishna, because he was playing the part of a devotee. Lord Chaitanya knew that in Kali Yuga there would be many bogus incarnations pretending to be God, and therefore he avoided asserting himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, in many Vedic literature, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32, Krishnavarnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yatnyai Sanketana Prayer Yajanti hi sumedasaha. In Kali Yuga, intelligent men worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always accompanied by his associates such as Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar and Srivas. The entire Krishna consciousness movement is based on the principles of the Sankirtan movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, one who tries to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of the Sankirtan movement knows everything perfectly. He is sumedas, a person with substantial intelligence. Om Ajnana Timirandasya. Hare Krishna. So actually Premridhi Prabhu is supposed to give class today, but somehow Gaurav Gopal Prabhu instructed me to speak a few words. Premridhi Prabhu will be giving the class in the afternoon today for the Govardhan Puja festival. So this verse was actually discussed yesterday also by Sankirtan Prabhu. So just try to repeat a few things that he said. So we see over here Prahlad Maharaj continuing his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narsingadev. And in this particular shloka, he reveals about the Supreme Personality of Godhead's incarnation in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearing as a Chan avatar, as a hidden avatar. Whereas in all the other yugas, we see the Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing in such majestic and magnificent forms, which are completely so fantastic that we have to accept that this particular person who has appeared is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no other choice. Particularly we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam how the Lord appears in the form of the tortoise, Kurma Rupa. And in this beautiful pastime, when the demigods and the asuras join together in order to get nectar, amrit, all of them endeavor jointly to get Mount Sumeru to the milk ocean. Now Mount Sumeru is not an ordinary mountain, it's made of pure gold. So you can imagine a whole mountain, a few thousand yojanas high. One yojana is equal to 8 miles. So I think it is 10,000 yojanas. That's 80,000 miles was the size of Mount Sumeru. And all the demigods and all the asuras decided to shift this Mount Sumeru from the place where it was residing onto the milk ocean. And there was so much of endeavor. They were huffing and puffing, and literally just to transport it for a few kilometers, there were so many of the demigods who were getting crushed, getting smashed, their limbs were getting broken. And finally they came to a stage where they gave up. And then they realized that they could not move Mount Sumeru anymore. And then the demigods prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And ultimately, of course, this is the plan of the Supreme Personality of God, is the pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Vishnu comes on his Garuda to the place, and he sees all those demigods and asuras who are just lying over there completely in a lifeless form. And the moment the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes over there, all the demigods get life once again into their body. And just to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu lifted this Mount Sumeru in his one hand. What all the demigods and all the asuras could not do, Lord Vishnu lifts this Mount Sumeru in his one single hand and places it on the back of Garuda. So you can imagine how powerful Garuda must be to be able to support Mount Sumeru on his back. And of course, Supreme Personality of Godhead is supremely powerful, so he can lift Mount Sumeru with his just one hand. And then the Lord sits on Garuda and then comes to the milk ocean. And then the churning begins. Vasuki is requested to come. And as the churning commences, Mount Sumeru, because she is so heavy, just starts going down into the bottom of the milk ocean because there is no support. And the Lord manifests himself as Kurma, as a tortoise. And when the Lord manifests himself as a tortoise, he manifests himself in such a gigantic way. 100,000 yojanas was the circumference of this tortoise. 100,000 yojanas. That's 8 lakh miles was the circumference. The circumference of this whole planet Earth is something like 20,000 miles. less than 20,000 miles, about 25,000 kilometers actually. It's less than 20,000 miles. You have the circumference of Kurma, which is 40 times that size. You can't even imagine such a gigantic form that the Lord has taken. But that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When He wants to present Himself, He presents Himself in such a way that we have to accept that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's nobody else other than Him who can manifest in such a huge form. And the Lord comes and lifts Mount Sumeru onto His back, and then the demigods and the asuras start churning. And the Lord develops each on His back, and then He feels such a pleasant sensation. So Mount Sumeru, He uses it as we use as Brahman thread of ours in order to scratch our back. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes in Kali Yuga, He comes as a hidden avatar. He doesn't want to show Himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada says over here that when devotees would address Him as Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would actually close His ears and say, "Vishnu, Vishnu, don't call me as Krishna. I'm not Krishna. I'm just an ordinary person." But to His devotees, to those who are completely surrendered to Him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would reveal His supreme opulence. So many times the Lord exhibits His form as Lord Krishna. Sorry, to those who are completely surrendered to Him. There was this Brahmana who comes to the house of Jagannath Mishra in Sachimata. This Brahmana was a pure devotee of the Lord. And his only duty was to travel to all the pilgrimage places in order to purify it. And one day he comes to the house of Jagannath Mishra in Sachimata. And of course Jagannath Mishra receives him very, very humbly, washes his feet, distributes the chanamrit to all his family members, and requests him to spend the night at his house. And this Brahmana accepts. And Jagannath Mishra tells him that please come and make whatever preparations you want for your deity. This Brahmana would always carry along with him shaligram and a small Gopal deity wherever he traveled. So Jagannath Mishra requested this Brahmana to come to the kitchen and make whatever preparations he wanted for his deities. And accordingly he cleaned the whole kitchen and made it available to this Brahmana. The Brahmana was so happy that he could serve his worshipable deities, because whenever he would travel, he would basically eat fruits, roots, whatever he would get on the way. And finally he was getting an opportunity to be able to offer cooked food to his deities. So with great enthusiasm he goes to the kitchen and starts making various preparations for the Lord. And after he was finished, he starts chanting the prayers to his Gopal deities in order to offer the bhoga to the Lord. And he was in such rapt attention chanting the mantras, calling out to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come and accept the bhoga, his offerings. When he opens his eyes, he sees in front of him Nimai, a small boy, few years of age. And he was having that offering, whatever he was offering to his deities, he was having that offering in his hands, and he was already eating it. So this Brahmana cried out, "Alas, what has happened? My offering has got contaminated." And Jagannath Mishra comes at that time with a stick and says, "Where is this boy? I need to thrash him." And this Brahmana tells Jagannath Mishra, no, no, please. The boy is innocent, he's a small boy after all. What does he know? What he's supposed to do and what he's not supposed to do. Let it be. It doesn't matter. And Jagannath Mishra falls at the feet of the Brahmana and requests him, please, my dear Brahmana, please, cook once again. This Brahmana says, there's really no need. Today I'm not destined to be offering cooked bhoga to the Lord. I'll just offer him some fruits and nuts. But Jagannath Mishra is very, very persevering. And then the Brahmana relents. And once again the kitchen is cleaned out. And the Brahmana goes to the kitchen once again in order to cook. And then again he makes very wonderful preparations for the Lord. And then when the bhoga is ready, takes it before his deities and starts offering it very, very intensely. Chants all the prayers. And when he opens his eyes, he sees right in front of him once again Nimai, having his offering in his hands and already eating it. Alas, alas, what is this? My offering is once again contaminated, it's once again ruined. Jagannath Mishra was so angry, so angry. He just wanted to hit Nimai. But then somehow the Brahmana and all the other relatives, they said, no, no, he's a small boy. And this Brahmana said, I'm really not destined to be offering cooked bhoga to my deities today. Please, let me just offer some fruits and he was somehow or the other not getting convinced by Jagannath Mishra, who was repeatedly telling him, no, no, please, this is the last time. Somehow we'll see to it. We'll lock Nimai in a room and there'll be no way by which Nimai can come out and disturb your offering. Please, once again, for the last time. The Brahmana said, it's only 2 o'clock in the morning. This is not the time that I can cook food and offer it to the deities. But then Jagannath Mishra said, no, no, it doesn't matter. And just at that time, Vishwarup comes into the room. And this Brahmana was just struck with wonder seeing the personality of Vishwarup. And he was thinking to himself that who is this effulgent personality? And then somebody came and told him that he is the son of Jagannath Mishra. So Vishwarup comes and pleads to this Brahmana and tells him, please, for our sake, please cook once again. And this Brahmana could not refuse. And this time, Jagannath Mishra said that I will personally lock up Nimai in his room and I will stand guard outside. I will see to it that Nimai doesn't escape out. And then this Brahmana goes once again into the kitchen, which is clean for him, and then he starts cooking very elaborate bhoga. And then he is ready for the offering for the third time. And as he starts offering very intense prayers, chanting in his mind, he opens his eyes and sees once again Nimai over there, having the offering in his hands. And this time, by the Yogamaya potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everybody was asleep. So although this Brahmana exclaimed, there was nobody to hear him. And this Brahmana started shouting, and then Nimai told him, why are you shouting? Every time you are calling me and I am coming, why are you getting so much disturbed? You are chanting the Gopal mantra and you are chanting it with so much intensity that I am appearing in front of you, and why are you getting disturbed? And then right in front of this Brahmana, Nimai manifests his 8-handed form. 4 hands holding the conch, discus, lotus flower and the gada. 2 hands were holding butter and the Lord was eating the butter, and 2 hands were holding the flute. And when this Brahmana saw this 8-handed form of the Lord, he became unconscious. And then the Lord touched him with his hand, and just by touching, this Brahmana became completely filled with ecstasy. And then Nimai comes back into his original form, and then he tells this Brahmana, that actually in my previous birth, when I was Lord Krishna, at that time also you had come into my house, and at that time also I allowed you to cook boga in my house. You are my eternal servant, and because of this eternal service of yours, I have come and manifested myself in front of you. Similarly, Srivas Thakur was one such associate of the Lord. And when the kirtans were going on in the house of Srivas Thakur every day in the evening, the whole night, all the atheistic people over there were very much concerned and disturbed. And at that time news came that there were two boatloads of government men who were coming over there to Navadvip to arrest Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur was not concerned about himself, but he was very much concerned about all the devotees. He was very fearful in his heart, and he was thinking to himself that if the government soldiers come and arrest all the devotees, they would be put into so much of anxiety. So Srivas Thakur was thinking like this in his mind, and he was praying to Nimai, praying to Lord Krishna. And just at that time Nimai comes into his house running and asks him, "What are you worried about? Why are you in so much anxiety? Unless and until I, as the Paramatma in the hands of the government soldiers, do not instruct them to attack you, they will have no power to do so." "So relax, Srivas. Because you are my surrendered servant, nothing will happen to any of you." And right in front of Srivas, the Lord manifests his four-handed form. So the Lord wants to show to his devotees his complete, powerful nature. Just to reassure us that at all times he is there for us. Similarly, all these festivals that we are celebrating is just to remind us of the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Today in the afternoon, we'll be hearing from Premnidhi Prabhu about Govardhan Leela. But when the Lord wants to show his supreme power, he can take on any form. He can even take on the form of a mountain. And tons of preparations that were made for Govardhan, right in front of their eyes, the devotees could see Govardhan taking all this. Now, who would believe that a mountain can eat, and not just a small quantity of foodstuffs, huge quantity? So the Lord can take any form just to prove to his devotees that I am always here to protect you. Just take my shelter. Just surrender to me. Prahlad Maharaj completely surrendered to Narsingadev. All the demigods who were present over there, including Brahma and Shiva, could not approach Narsingadev because he was so fearful. But Prahlad Maharaj had absolutely no problem. He knew that here is the person who is giving him shelter. So all of us have, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, such a wonderful opportunity to be participating in all these festivals, to come to the temple of Sri Radha Gopinath, where the Supreme Lord is waiting to give us his darshan. to give us an opportunity to serve Him. And actually deity worship can be so intense and yet so blissful. Gaur Gopal Prabhu was telling me today morning that just a few devotees have stayed back from the yatra in order to serve the deities. And every day there are six offerings, there's dressing of the deity being done. Just a few devotees are engaged in the service, whereas normally there are so many devotees. And the same service that is being done by 30-40 devotees is being done today by about 8 or 10 devotees. So you can imagine how much of intense service. I remember a few years back we ourselves had an opportunity to be here in the temple when all the devotees had gone for the Panchatattva installation in Mayapur. This was in the year 2003. And somehow or the other, I was supposed to go just before the installation. But the devotees had gone much earlier. And there were just Dwarkadish Prabhu and myself who stayed back in the temple along with a few Matajis in order to serve the deities. And I was supposed to go on a particular day, and the day before, somehow by the arrangement of the Lord, I had done 5 aartis and 3 offerings. Out of the 6 aartis, I had a chance to do 5 aartis and 3 offerings. And then at the end of the day, I was in such bliss. I was feeling so contented and so nice. And I was thinking to myself, why should I go to Mayapur? I had a ticket. And I was thinking, if I go to Mayapur, what will I do? I'll get spaced out. Relatively. But here, you have an opportunity to be doing so many aartis, and I was feeling so nice, and I was thinking to myself, no, I'm not going to go to Mayapur. And somehow, just at that time, one devotee comes to me and asks me, you know, do you know of anybody who is not going to Mayapur, who's got a ticket? I told him, yes, I'm not going to Mayapur, take my ticket. I gave my ticket to him and he went to Mayapur and I stayed back. And it was so blissful. Sorry. So deity service is so blissful and intense. Keeps you completely engaged. You have to have bath every time you do an offering, every time you do an aarti, you have to have a bath. So you have at least 4 or 5 baths a day. Keeps you pure externally. You say all the mantras and you chant all the prayers. All by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have got this great benediction of engaging ourselves. Of course, those who are there in the yatra also are blissful. We have been hearing how lectures have been there for 5 hours a day. The first day there was katha for 5 hours. So obviously, katha for 5 hours is nectarian, blissful, intense, absorption for 5 hours. That is not a short time. Yesterday there was katha for 4 hours. So even those who are in yatra are blissful. Those who are staying back are blissful. Those who are giving class are blissful. Those who are listening to class are blissful. So everybody is blissful in Krishna consciousness. The process is so blissful that everybody has to be blissful. There is no other way. So whether you are in the yatra, whether you are not going for the yatra, 24 hours we have an opportunity to be blissful. Provided we appreciate the great benediction that we have been given. How fortunate we are. Really, we have to be intensely grateful to Srila Prabhupada for whatever He has given us. In every opportunity, we can remember the Lord. And that is what Krishna consciousness is all about. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Chanting the names of the Lord, meditating on the Lord, serving. So where is the time for Maya to attack us? If we don't give an opportunity to Maya, there is no way by which Maya can ever get into our consciousness. And the way the process of Krishna consciousness works, 24 hours of the day we can be engaged in Krishna service. So there is no opportunity for Maya to attack at any given point of time to have any hold on us. So all the devotees are requested to stay back and participate in this wonderful Govardhan Puja that we'll be having in a couple of hours from now. Aarti, kirtans, bhajans. One says every day is a festival. Every day you get up in the morning, you come to the temple for Mangal Aarti. Right? It's a festival. You have the aarti of the deities. Chant Samsara Dava prayers, and then after that you have Narsinga Aarti, and then you have Narsinga Puja, and then you have Tulsi Aarti, and then you chant the Sikshashtakam prayer, then you do your japa for 1.5 hours. Then you have a Guru Puja, then you have Damodarashtakam, you offer a lamp to the Lord. Then you have the Bhagavatam class. And then after that you go on your service, you do whatever service, then come back in the evening again, Damodarashtakam. So every day is blissful. Not that today, just because it is Govardhan Puja, it's going to be blissful. But every day is blissful. Right? 365 days of the year, we can remain blissful in Krishna consciousness. And of course, even though we are in Krishna consciousness, this material nature will continue to trouble us. That's the duality of this material nature. Just because we are devotees doesn't mean that we are exempted from difficulties that will come into our lives. Because this material world is anityam, asukam, lokam. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, matra sparshastu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukkada. Agamam paino nitya stamti tiksha swabharata. This material world is a place of duality. Just like how we have the summer and the winter season, you are going to have happiness and difficulties come into our lives without asking. Right. But a person who is self-realized, he doesn't get affected by this. So this process of Krishna consciousness makes us self-realized to somehow or the other transcend the dualities of material nature. Sorry. Not to get affected. To remain equipoised under every circumstance. Whether we are a brahmachari, whether we are grahastha, whether we are vanaprastha, whether we are a sannyasi, or whether we are a brahmana, whether we are a shudra, vaishya, or kshatriya. Difficulties will come into our lives for sure. Nothing will ever remain the same. Like it is said, the only thing constant about this material world is change. Right? That's the only thing constant about this material world. Nothing else is constant. The process of change. We are in a comfortable situation today, will be blasphemed tomorrow. Aspersions will be cast on our character. But we have to remain equipoised. We have to try to remain equipoised. And to the extent that we remain equipoised, to that extent we know that we have made advancement in our spiritual life. That is the barometer. That is the yardstick by which we can measure our own level of Krishna consciousness. When difficulties come into our life, to what extent do we compromise on our sadhana? To what extent we compromise on the principles of Krishna consciousness? If we are steady, then Krishna will reciprocate. Yeah. Because that's the real test that Krishna puts us to. But so far as we are in the association of devotees, we will remain protected. So far as we do not leave the association of devotees, as Srila Prabhupada would say, so far as we are connected to ISKCON, nothing will stop us from going home back to Godhead. ISKCON is Srila Prabhupada's body. And if you are connected with Srila Prabhupada's body, then our going home back to Godhead is for sure. Maybe in this lifetime, may not be in this lifetime, so what? The process is guaranteed to work. And our sincerity is what will determine our advancement in Krishna consciousness. How sincere we are. how much efforts we are putting into this process. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So it's already late, it's 9:30. So we won't have any questions. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premana.